You don't just start playing baseball and then instantly make it to the major leagues. You have to work hard to get there. You have to have a game plan to get yourself to be the MVP.
The Most Valuable Producers podcast is not for the average agent. You can't be average to become the MVP.
Just like in the big leagues, you can't just be a one or two or three tool player. You have to be a five tool player to become the MVP.
You can make a difference in someone's life every single day in this job, in this career, in this industry.
What's your game plan? This is your host of the show, Mitch Gibson.
You are listening to the MVP Podcast.
What is going on, MVP Podcast? It is your host, Mitch Gibson, and I'm joined by a very special guest, very close buddy, friend of mine, been actually in a couple mastermind groups with me. Not only is he just an all-around genuine man, but he also is an agency owner. He's a certified financial advisor, podcast host. He's really, really embedded his roots in this industry, both on the insurance side of things and on the financial advisor side of things. And I wanted to have him on to discuss a couple of things on the financial side with budgeting, how young agents in general should be budgeting. And there's even some going to be some hidden tips and tricks in here for agency owners out there that I think adjusting to now and you know, just asking questions early on in your career is super, super important. But without further ado, my man, Mr. Eric Garcia, coming to us from the good old state and the good old Mardi Gras capital of
the world.
Mardi
Gras capital of the world. You know, you just lost one listener.
Bradley
Flowers. Bradley Flowers just stopped listening to your show.
Never knew Mobile was Mardi Gras, because all I see is NOLA, New Orleans. Yeah. Mr. Eric Garcia, how are you, dude?
I'm good, man. I'm good, Mitch. All right, man, it's been a long time coming. I was afraid that I was getting too old to be on your show here, and that's why you hadn't invited me. So, like,
well, I'll throw myself under the bus for the listeners out there. This has taken almost three different Google invites, and for that I apologize. But I've tried to get him on the show the last like month and a half, maybe 2 months, but I've had to cancel on him myself multiple times, twice. Now the third time's a charm. So here we are, and I'm kind of glad, Eric, that it happened at the time it did. Because here we are in 2023, new year, you know, the whole hashtag new year, new me, things that you should be, you know, that you've wrote down goals wise or should have already prepared. If you listen to Brett Young, Andy Matheson episode a couple weeks ago, they discussed preparation. They discussed, you know, their five tools of having success and having a successful career in this industry. So, you know, the whole new year, new me, not only, you know, do you look at in your industry, how can I be better as an insurance agent? That's how I look at myself. How can I, you know, have a make it a better customer journey, customer experience for my customers, or referral partners, right?
You know the problem though with 2023, like shoot, a new year, it. we change the calendar. The problem is we still have 2022 baggage coming with us into 2023.
That is very true. And that's why I think I said this an episode ago. I don't really do resolutions or new year, new me, right? And that's kind of the point that I was getting ready to get at. I'm glad you stepped in and said something because Eric, that the thing that is always behind the picture that no one thinks about when putting their head down, grinding, making their money is, what are you doing with that money? How are you where are you at in your career? What are your financial goals? And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into this first topic here and talk about some common mistakes that common mistakes people in general, but specifically, let's think about a Mitch Gibson, for an example. Mm-hmm. You know, a young agent, new in the industry, this is year six, or we can't believe that. But what are some common mistakes?
Man, is this your way? Is this your way of get? Is this your way of like hiring me without hiring me? Getting me to be your planner without actually paying me to be your planner?
Well, let's pretend Mitch
is your case study. What would you tell a
I think it's a great example because it somewhat, you know, what you're probably going to cover here has been true in a certain situation to me on a financial standpoint. So I think that we talked about this a little bit before the show, and I want you to hammer on it, is your five common mistakes people make with their money.
Yeah,
or in the budgeting process. What can you give us there?
We're going to drill down a little bit. We're going to say five common mistakes that insurance agents make with their money. So we're going to drill down real specific, and I'm going to take number five and make number five first, since you've already kind of alluded to it. and it's kind of the foundation of everything, is that they don't have a plan. Now, what does it mean to have a plan? There's goals, there's plans, there's objectives, there's plans. If you're an agency owner for your agency, if you're just a producer, you got your production plans. But what I'm talking about here, I'm talking about personal finance. I'm talking about building wealth outside of your business if you're the owner, or building wealth outside of the income that you're generating as a producer. Is where are you headed? And I'm not talking about goals. I'm not talking about creating financial goals. Here's the problem with goals. And if anyone has read Atomic Habits, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have read it. It's kind of been that book's kind of circulated through our circles here. Goals are real binary. You meet it or you don't, right? It's New Year's. I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, great. You work your ass off. You eat better. You lose 10 pounds. And then what do you do the day after? Do you go back eating shrimp po' boys and drinking six packs every night? You're going to put it right back on. So the problem with goals is once you meet it, where are you going? And when I talk about plan, I'm talking about like a vision. Like, where do I want to be 10, 15, 20 years from now? When I look back at my life, what have I accomplished? I want to be community oriented. I want to be able to give as much as I can to my community. I want to be able to write these big visions that keep us moving forward. See, goals are markers along the way that should always be pointing towards that ultimate plan, right? So like, for example, here's a good one. Talked to a lot of agency owners, and we love the agency game. We have the potential to make a lot of money running an agency. But most guys I talk to are also, man, I can't wait to sell. I can't wait to be able to step back. I can't wait till running my agency is optional, right? I call that work optional. That's a vision. That's a plan.
That's a vision. That's a great vision.
That's a plan. Like, I have to start now. My vision, my plan is make operating my agency work optional. So now everything I do, all of my goals, when I sit down in 2023, when I sit down in 2024, when I sit down in 2025, I got to ask, hey, are all these goals leading me towards that ultimate vision or plan? And here's what's interesting. And again, this comes from the book Atomic Habits, James Clear. We have a very difficult time acting inconsistent with how we view ourselves. We'll hammer on this whole New Year's resolution thing. And everyone wants to get fit, right? I'm gonna get healthy, right? Everyone gets their gym membership going. Whatever. So at my gym, and it's a bunch of middle-aged people.
You guys play racquetball?
No, it's CrossFit. CrossFit. It's like CrossFit for middle-aged people with hurting shoulders and hurting knees. So we scale the hell out of everything. But the owner of the gym, she used to be a bodybuilder, and she would call us her athletes. And I'm like, athletes? Come on, look around. I'm like, there's very few athleticism in this place, and it got me thinking that what do athletes do?
They train.
They train. They eat right. They show up at the gym. They take care of their body, right? She doesn't call us or her middle-aged people who are trying to get shape. She gave us a vision. You're an athlete. And then it's really difficult to act in a way that's incongruent, inconsistent with how you view yourself. So she was casting a vision. She was giving us a plan. And it's the same thing with our personal finances. What are we trying to do? And if I see myself as someone who can't get their spending under control, guess what's going to happen? Well, that's just me being me, right? I just can't get my spending under control. But if I'm living into this vision of me being someone who's going to have the option to work or not work in 20 years or 15 years, if I see myself as, hey, I'm going to sell my agency in 10 years, and I keep that identity in front of me, that vision in front of me, that plan in front of me, the decisions I start making for my agency are going to become consistent with that. How do I make my agency saleable in 10 years? Does this software,
You're good. No. Just use as an example.
I'm considering selling my agency. That's something that was in my plan back in 2015. And every year I read my old plans and I see this. Okay, I got to start making decisions that are consistent for me to make my agency most saleable. And one of the selling points of my agency is in New Orleans, I am a incredibly tech forward agency. Now, some of your listeners, I'm probably not nearly as tech forward as some other people, but in New Orleans, that's one of the things that makes my agency attractive to some other agents who haven't been exposed to some of the more progressive thinking agents that we've been able to network with. So my decisions, like when I make decisions on tech, that's part of it is, hey, does this make me more saleable? Does this make me more attractive or does it not? So you got to have a plan for your personal finances. Where do I want to be? Sure. Kind of that big vision. So mistake number one is people don't have a clear vision of where they want to go.
And I kind of take that and use it as a perspective and try to use it in a baseball term for an example, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think I have a lot of people that listen to the show that have played sports, played college sports, high school sports, but use baseball in very good analogy ways in their career and their daily life. Well, I know the older I got, you know, the less you start working on this small skills stuff, the making sure you're in good form, you know, then you turn into that more athletic. Then you start learning the fine details of, you know, analytics of what this hitter's good at between, you know, with this pitches in this part of the zone. It gets so technical. But there's one key fact of the game of baseball that doesn't change that I love. You think every MLB baseball team coming up in spring training here in the next month or two, you think that their goal is to not win the World Series. I think that's majority of them. If they don't have that thought going in, what's the point of even playing? Everybody's got that goal. They want to either play or win in a World Series game. It's a big reward, right? But you have to vision it happening, okay? If I'm pitching on the baseball mound and I've got, you know, let's just say Aaron Judge in the box, I've got all these negative thoughts of how far this ball's going to get hit, where's it's going to get hit, instead of visualizing the success. Sometimes it's okay just to close your eyes. I don't know if you do this, Eric, or if it's just me being weird. But I close my eyes and I think about if I'm going to a sales call, whatever the situation is. I will try to put myself in visualization of how I'm going.
I think it's
to
kind of weird that you just that you just closed your eyes as you were telling me you were closing your eyes as you were.
I did it.
You're visualizing yourself.
Visualizing it.
So it helps as much as it pains me to say, okay, because I am not a Tom Brady fan. There's a reason why Tom Brady freaking wins games as often as he does in the fourth quarter. The dude just doesn't believe he can lose. He's just going to win. Doesn't matter.
It's that little bit of cocky mentality that you have to have. You can't just you can't just be even keel in those scenarios. Be a Tom Brady, right? He's not an even keel guy. But I just had to use that. That's how
gotta
I
got to have a plan. So the second mistake that insurance agents make is that they live on borrowed money. They live on borrowed money. When I first got into the business, so I started off as a captive back in 2001. And there was, you know, office with some other guys and super successful agents. And they would always, you know, their advice to me, and I'm glad I didn't take it completely. They said, hey, Eric, go buy a big house, go buy an expensive car, get yourself into debt. It's going to make you work harder. Right. But it's terrible advice. But how many friends do you know in this industry that are financing their lifestyles? They haven't yet made it.
Quite a few.
And the challenge is, hey, look, if you grind it out, you are going to make a lot of money and you could probably pay off all the debt that you create. But what if you don't? And then you're also building that habit of living on borrowed money. That's a terrible place to be. We try to finance the things that we want. We try to keep up with what other successful agents are doing, right? We look around, there's a lot of, man, in our circle, there's a lot of really successful agency owners. And they have earned everything that they have. They have earned the big house. They've earned the fancy car. They've earned the nice clothes. They've earned the expensive vacations. And then there's those agency owners that might be newer to the block or might not be as ambitious or might not have had as much success early on, but they're seeing what these guys are doing over here. And they want it. And they want it, right? We call this... you have to master social indifference. You got to see what other people are doing and saying, hey, you know, I'm indifferent to what they're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. I've got my plan. I've got what I can do. And that's the space I'm going to live in. But we're watching what other people are doing, and we want what they have, and there's only one way to get it, or it's two ways to get it. Number one, I can work my ass off and make money and then get it, or I can borrow my way to it. And too many people are borrowing their way to it. And let me tell you what that does. Here's a problem with that. Because someone's thinking like, Eric, what's the big deal with that? For some people, debt doesn't bother them. They got debt. They don't care. Whatever. Some people, and a lot of people, and maybe not you as the agency owner, but if you're in a relationship, let me tell you what debt does to a couple relationship. It creates a lot of anxiety, creates a lot of stress, right? Because you might have the tolerance for debt, but your spouse might not. You know, you might want to do something as a family, but you're thinking like, oh my God, we can't because I'm over leveraged over here. So we can't take that Disney trip this year, or we have to postpone this or postpone that. And it creates a burden. It creates a stress in relationships if you're in one. So living on borrowed money. Oh man, don't be like every other American out there. So, I mean, America, we're the worst. Americans are the worst.
On borrowed money, you say? Is that what you're meaning?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. Well, it's too easy. It's too easy to get money.
True story. I got a client years and years and years ago. He's no longer a client. I think he's moved from the city. He's no longer a client. This was on the insurance side. And he is Chinese. He's from China, not just ethnically Chinese. He moved here as an adult. And we're talking about savings. And dude saves 50% a year of his income. 50%.
Wow.
That's it. You got to think culturally, they don't have the same systems and the same, sure, you know, insurance systems over there that we have over here. But 50%. I think Americans right now, we might be somewhere between 2-4% of our income that we're saving. So second mistake is we live on borrowed money. Agents are living on borrowed money. Now, look, let me pause and say this. I get it. I'm an agency owner. I'm a business owner. Is it expensive to operate an agency? And oftentimes you have to take debt to build your business. And that's cool. Okay. You should be borrowing money, though, on things that are going to generate revenue for you. Think of it as an investment. You're not going to invest in anything that doesn't have a return or a justified return on investment. So I shouldn't borrow money on something that doesn't have a justified return on investment. Me borrowing money to buy more car than I can afford is not giving me a justified return on investment.
I'm writing that one down because that right there is a clippable thing. I love that. One more time for the people in the back.
Wait, which part?
The
you got me going, man. You got me going, and it's hard for me.
When you talk about making sure that when you invest, you have to borrow something, or you know, you make an investment, right? Yeah. Even if it's negatively impacting you on a financial standpoint, but on the back end,
that's the definition. The difference between investing and saving. Saving is I'm putting money away in a safe place for some time in the future, right? I'm you know, squirreling money away for, you know, I'm going to buy a down payment on a house.
Sure.
Investing is different. Investing is I'm spending money on something that's going to generate more money for me, right? So we never, as business people, want to make an investment that does not have a justified return. We just wouldn't. So why would we borrow money for something that doesn't have a justified return? So if I'm starting my agency, let's say you're a producer and you want to start your own agency, and it's going to cost you need $100,000 to get started. You know, you got someone who's willing to finance you. I would say, okay, that's probably a justified return. If I'm going to take $100,000, I'm going to invest it in an agency that's going to generate, you know, $1 million in the next 5 years. Yeah, that's a good idea. Do it. But I'm going to go borrow $100,000 because I want to buy a all electric Porsche. Actually, you need to borrow like $130,000 for that because it's cool. Like
I'd say, Tesla.
Or a Tesla. Yeah. I would say that's a poor reason to borrow money, unless you have like a crap ton of assets over here that could support that. You know, I'm going
to
go
funneling it to it. Yes.
Well, I'm going to go borrow at 2% because I'm earning 8% over here. That's a totally different strategy. Sure, but I think you get where I'm going.
Absolutely.
The third mistake, it's similar to this one, is, man, some agency people just spend way too much money on their house. I'm going to say the same thing I said about living on borrowed money. Okay. There's people who have worked for it. You don't know their story all the time. They may have inherited money. They had had incredible agency success. I'm not saying don't own a nice house. What I'm saying is don't spend too much on your house before you can. Here's the mistake that I made. Here's my biggest financial mistake. It's not very sexy, or it's not like, oh, I can't believe that. Never went bankrupt. It was, I tried to accumulate in like 5 years what it took my parents 30 years to accumulate. So as a result, I built my house, you know, within 4 years of starting in the industry. You know, you just try to accumulate too fast.
Sure.
You spend too much money on, and we see that in the house. How many people do I talk to who like, I want my forever house. I'm like, you're 32. You're 32 and you can't afford a $1 million house because you got three kids that you want to put them through college. You want to save for your retirement. Like, I don't think it's wise to tie it up in a house. Again, a house is not going to generate revenue for me. No.
Unless you buy a little 1,200 square foot ranch, fix it up a little bit, live in it for 10, 15 years while you're working your butt off, making your good financial smart financial decisions. What you do is you go get your next house,
yeah,
and then you borrow money to buy that house, but you're selling the other one. Right?
There are all kinds of great strategies, but the problem is too many people are trying to live like the rich when they're not rich yet.
We're not rich yet.
you're going to be rich one day. And the problem is, wait till you get there, then spend your money. Again, I'm not saying don't borrow money for things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you just can't accumulate what it took somebody, another agency owner, 10, 15 years to get to. And you think you're going to do it in 3 to 5 years. And even some people who've been in the agency game for 10 to 15 years. I was in the insurance space for 10 years before I went independent. Couldn't have done some of this stuff the year after going independent. It's too expensive. I've got three kids and one's in college now and they eat a lot and one dances and freaking point ballet shoes are expensive. And, you know, I can't live in the fanciest part of town. That's okay. It's part of my plan.
Part of the plan. Got to have one.
So where are we?
Number four.
What is number four? This may be one of the biggest ones right here. You ready?
I'm ready. Drop them. Drop it.
Fourth common mistake that insurance people make is they don't track their spending.
They don't track their spending. You don't like on an Excel spreadsheet or just in general?
In general. Like if I were to ask you, Mitch, how much did you spend last month at Amazon?
$0.
Okay. Mitch, how much did you spend last month on groceries?
About $323.
Okay.
But ask me that question as if we talked 2 years ago.
Mitch, no, I'm going to ask you as last month, how much money did you spend on bar tabs?
Right. Close to, well, including food with that, that's 450 bucks, like 450 bucks. Okay. That's usually pretty average though, but I'm with realtors in referral part. It's a call off the part, off the cusp, but yes.
Yeah. Here's the point. We don't track our spending. Ben Franklin said, even a small leak sinks a big ship. Business owners leak money. And maybe if you're a business owner, like, there might be a difference between a producer and a business owner, but again, I'm talking about like in our personal finances.
Sure.
Is man, we'll swipe our card, we'll spend money, especially if you're making good money. Especially if you're making good money, you know, if you're making 150, 200 plus thousand a year, you're living pretty. You know, let's say you're living modestly, you got a lot of money to do things with. So what happens? You don't think twice. Yeah, I can buy that. Yeah, I can buy this. Yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah, I'll buy this. And all of a sudden, you've racked up a few thousand dollars on expenses. You're like, where the hell did my money go? Why can't I save enough? Why is my retirement underfunded? Right? Why do I still have student loan debt?
See, and that's when I asked the question about the five common mistakes, I said use me as an example, like somebody that was in my state of mind. Right? I look at that number four. That's my favorite. You said that's your favorite because that was the one mistake that I was really
good at
not doing good at. And now to be able to feel like I've, you know, and it's you know, now being on full commission and this being my second year or third year on full commission, it's like, oh, things are looking really good. But they're looking really, really good now that I started tracking my spending.
What's going on, loyal listeners? It's Mitch Gibson with the MVP Podcast, stopping you in the action of the podcast. Promise you that this will only take a second. Are you a local independent insurance agent struggling to find markets for your clients? Well, look no further than Nationwide Brokerage Solutions. With over 200 carriers, their comprehensive options give you what you need for your customers' ever-changing needs. With NBS, you can confidently offer a wide range of options to better support your customers and do what we're here to do. Grow your business. Don't settle for less. Do more with NBS. For more information about Nationwide Brokerage Solutions, visit nbsbrokerage.com. That's nbsbrokerage.com. Let them know that the folks at the Agency Intelligence Podcast Network sent you.
So look. There's two sides to this. There's two sides to all of these. I feel like I'm qualifying. There's a mistake, but I'm qualifying it. All right.
Love it.
So this is not my favorite one. I absolutely hate tracking spending. And I'm willing to bet you the majority of your listeners are like, dude, I'm not tracking my, like,
I bet they don't.
The birds, dude. Like, I don't want to track my spending. All right. I must sign up for like Mint or Tiller or You Need a Budget, YNAB, and I'm going to download my transactions. That's not tracking your spending. Tracking your spending is actually looking at where your money went. No one wants to do that. Budgeting sucks. I'm gonna tell you right now, budgeting sucks. It sucks so bad. I actually am in the process, as we record, I'm launching my own video series. I call it Budgeting Made Easy. It's my way of teaching budgeting, because budgeting sucks. Okay. Oh,
so that's going to be awesome.
Businesses, if you have a business, you have to budget. Now, a business budget is very different than a household budget. Household budgets suck. Okay. Sure. No one wants to be told no, but yet it personally, in our businesses, we get that we only have so much money that we can spend on staff, on tech, on marketing, on whatever. Okay. But in the household, like, man, don't tell me how much I can spend at the grocery store. Like, I'm on vacation. I can spend as much as I want. And I hate that. Like, so I don't tell people what to spend money on or what not to spend money on. Here's why you need a budget, though. Here's why you need to track your spending. It's about awareness. You need to become aware of where your money's going. Once you become aware of where your money's going, you start making different buying decisions. You start to realize, like, damn, like, I spent how much at Whole Foods? Holy crap. You know, maybe I shouldn't spend so much there. Like, man.
Or maybe you shouldn't go to Whole Foods.
Whatever, you know, I'm going on 6 conventions a year, and golly, I just dropped $25,000 on conventions and eating and travel. Like, maybe I need to scale that back. I was never aware of how much I was spending, right? The more money you spend in your business, the less you can take home to build your personal wealth. So, budget for awareness, not because you can only spend $436.27 at the grocery store this month. Or, you know, at the next convention, you can only spend $327 at the bar. That's not, you know, you budget, just become aware. And then think of it in light of your plan. Okay, so what's my plan? What's that vision that we talked about, right? And then now I'm becoming aware of my spending. Is my spending consistent with where I plan to be in 10, 15, 20 years?
Consistent. He said consistent.
And the majority of the time, the answer is no, that I'm not doing with my money today the things that will get me to where I want to be tomorrow. That's why budget is important. That's why it's important to become aware of your spending. If you want work to be optional, operating your agency to be optional, whatever that means, selling, merging, bringing on a CEO, whatever it means, in 10 or 15 years, and you're pissing your money away and you don't even know where it's going, I say pissing your, maybe you're not, maybe you're spending it on valuable things. But the point is, you got to be making decisions with your money from a spending standpoint that's going to get you to where you want to be. It's consistent with your plan. That's correct. That's it. And half the time we spend our money on things that, like, man, I really didn't need that. I thought that was going to bring me more joy. You know, I could have made do without that. And again, funding, when we fund the things that are consistent with where we want to be, then who cares what we do with the rest? Man, if I'm funding my money, let's say I have a giving goal, okay? Or let's say I have a retirement savings goal, and I'm funding that. And I want to send my kid to a college. I want my kid to have the option to go to whatever college they want. And I'm funding that. And I want to be debt free by a certain point, you know, in my life. And I'm paying that down. And I still have $3,000 a month to do whatever I want to do with. Well, do whatever you want to do with it. I mean, just because the budget says you can only spend $366 on electronics, who cares? You're funding everything that's important. It's moving towards where you want to be. So that way, that's how I handle it. I don't want to be like this little bean counter on where my dollars are going. So let me just make sure I'm funding everything that's important to me. And then after that, I don't care.
Requirement, yeah. I mean, but outside of the required and importance, you know, required being your consistent monthly expenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more that you can lower those, I mean, it's just common sense. The less you can lower those expenses, the more you have to have fun, right? And do the things that you want, as long as those requirements and those things that you needed that you want to fund are part of the budget. You're in a great position.
And for your listeners, I don't know the exact URL yet, but by the time this episode's dropped, we'll probably have our budgeting video series dropped as well. So we're going to do a discount for your listeners in the show notes.
Let's go, baby.
Saving money.
I'll make sure to put those in the show notes. And if you're watching the video, it might little pop up with a little QR code, maybe.
Yeah, so we'll have a link and then a coupon code for Mitch's Disciples.
What's the name of the course or the
program? Right now it's called Budgeting Made Easy.
Okay.
It is the dumbest name.
No, it's not. It's simple. I mean, it's what one wants to do. I think I think about it.
Okay.
Budgeting Made Easy, because it's nothing about budgeting is easy, right?
Yeah.
You said it, not me.
Yeah.
So to see Budgeting Made Easy, I love that. I think it's great. And if you are a young agent just now getting started, I know I talked to Eric before, like when he started building it out at first.
It's been a long time. It's been so long. I didn't do a good job of budgeting my time.
But you learned and you figured it out, because I just saw the end game piece of it, and it's pretty cool. It's really, really cool. And just go check it out. But I will drop the discount code and all that. It'll be MVP23. Is that what you said?
It'll be MVP23. Will be the MVP discount code.
MVP23. Yeah. So we'll make sure to put those in the show notes. And if you have any questions on that, you can always reach out to Eric. But Eric, real quick, I want to jump into one more topic as we move down this path. Did we say the fifth one, by the way?
We didn't.
So I think you did say the fifth one, but you said it at the beginning.
No, there's one more. There's one more. They all kind of tie together a little bit. And this one's kind of quick.
Let's hear it. Yeah,
The last common mistake that insurance agency owners or producers make is they don't save enough for retirement. Now, man, I hear this
like for their 401k that maybe they like. So for example, my agency matches a 401k. Are you talking like that or even more so than that?
Yeah, let's broaden it. So sure, 401k, but retirement for later on, saving for investing for later on. Okay. Hey Eric, I'm going to save money. I'll start investing more once my agency hits so much million in revenue or so much whatever. I'll start saving more later. So I'm talking about investing for retirement. Here's the problem with that. For most agency owners, if you're an agency owner, there is a very, very, very high chance that your agency is the largest asset on your balance sheet. Okay. Largest asset. We all believe in diversification. Problem is, we are so undiversified as agency owners. Now, we own an asset that, you know, if you're operating a good practice right now, man, your agency is blowing and going. I know last year in 2022, we were just over 25% growth. And the year before that was in the low 20s as well. So it's a tremendous opportunity for growth. So investing in your agency makes a ton of sense. Again, qualifying. I'm not saying don't save in your agency, save in a retirement account. Here's what I'm saying. Saving and investing on a consistent basis is a habit. It's a behavior. Rarely do people change behaviors like that. It's like working out. You talked about this earlier, about pitching, about becoming a good pitcher, a good baseball player. They work on the little things consistently every day. And then what happens is 5, 10, 15 years later, since they've been working since they were 5, they're a phenomenal baseball player. It's the same thing with saving and investing. You build the habit, the behavior. Even if it's 25 a month, 50 a month, 100 a month, you're building that habit of saving. It becomes a lot easier to go from 100 a month to 1,000 a month than from zero to 500 because you have the habit. I see this with a lot of business owners too. Business owners, they're notorious for not saving outside of their business. And again, we're talking about building personal wealth. We're talking about diversifying our wealth outside of our agencies, because one day we're going to wake up, we're going to show up to work, and we're going to say, you know what? One too many damn hurricanes, not the drink, the storm, the weather event, one too many hurricanes, five too many companies have gone bankrupt, and I'm tired of having to interview staff and hire people. And you know what? I'm exhausted from this insurance grind. Yes, that I'm talking about me personally. That's sure. My story. One too many freaking hurricanes. Too many companies have gone bankrupt. We've had to rewrite 400 policies in a month as an agency. And you get to a point like, man, this is just too much. And it's a good thing that I've been living into this vision of having a business that's saleable, because now I'm sitting here, I have the option. My business is in a position to sell if I wanted to. I don't have to do anything over the next 2 to 3 years to get it ready, clean my books up. I don't have to do anything like that. It's all clean. Right? There's behaviors and their habits, and they start early. And the sooner we do those things, the sooner we fix these mistakes that we're making, the better off you're gonna be. All right. So
I love that. There we go. I have the 5 common mistakes that insurance agents make. But you hit on a couple of things there about an agency owner. I mean, because what we just discussed here for the first 20, 30 minutes, can you hit on your agency or your agent end game, for an example? I know we discussed this multiple times in the past. I've seen it in live action. But kind of how you just describe yourself, right, in this scenario.
Yeah.
I kind of see the same that agent endgame could maybe benefit some agency owners of how you just explained yourself. Maybe just tired of it. Maybe you do have a vision of you want to be there in 5 years, but you've got shit all over the place, for lack of better terms, messy data, no tech, retention's bad, whatever it might be, right? You got to get your shit together first before you can sell it or get it sellable. So with that being said, I mean, maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they haven't even put that plan into play. How could maybe something like agent endgame help them?
Yeah. So do we even mention Agent Endgame yet on the podcast?
No, we did not. We have not talked about it on the podcast before.
So Agent Endgame. So what Agent Endgame is, man, about 3 years ago, I was having a conversation with Chris Lengile, advisor of Vault, best website builder.
I second that.
That is an unpaid testimony. We're just talking about, yeah, hey man, like I just realized, like I'm an agency owner. I'm a financial planner. I spend most of my time on the financial side. I've got a business partner on the agency side. And coming up, just kind of the experience of the mastermind, because I connected with Cass back in like 2011. I saw him speak in Pensacola.
I was a sophomore in high school. I was a freshman in high school.
And that was back in the days. It was DIMA, Digital Insurance Marketing Agency, or marketing, whatever. So it was a lot on digital marketing. And there's a lot, even today, there's a lot of talk about niche markets, right? As particularly in the commercial space, what's your niche market?
Yeah. David Carruthers, yeah.
David, that's the drum that David's beating 100%. Bob Klinger, talk about niche market. The dude's just crushing his niche. And I was sitting with Chris lamenting one day, like, you know, we're on the financial side. Like, you know, I work with a lot of business owners on the financial side, and I don't know who exact my niche is. And him, like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. Freaking, like, I own an agency. I understand insurance guys, how they think. I understand the agency model. I know what it takes to build an agency. Like, oh my gosh, I work with agency owners. So we came up with this agent endgame. That's just the website, agentendgame.com. You can go check it out. And really,
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I think you're probably getting ready to answer my question.
No, ask the question so I answer the right one.
No, I was going to say, so in a sense, they can go there and pretty much find out how they can plan or sign up a way to get to the point where they can Yeah, being an insurance agent, right? Like, what's your vision to be done selling insurance?
I don't know. What's your end game? No. What's your end game? I don't know what your end game is. Your end game might be to die working. That's great. Let's make that happen. It may be to never sell. It may be succession. It may be to, I don't know. In my business plan, I actually wrote in, this was in 2015. I wrote a specific year I wanted to sell for a specific dollar amount I wanted to have. Now, those are off a little bit, the year and the dollar amount, but that's okay. But here's the point is, as agency owners, we are in a position to do some really cool stuff financially, but there's these things that get in the way, these mistakes that get in the way. So really what the agent end game is how do we get to where we want to be? And as a financial planner, that's what I do. I understand your agency. I understand that you overspend. I understand the grind of running an agency. I understand the rhythms of operating an agency. I understand the difficulty of hiring and building a culture. Oftentimes in an industry that's real tough. I mean, it's hard. Depending on your market, it can even be harder. So really what the agent end game is how do we get you as an insurance professional to where you want to be 10, 15, 20 years from now? There's really three ways we do that. We interact with people. Number one is on the investment side. You know, we manage your 401k, give you that place to save for retirement. And it might not be 401k, depending on your business, it might be a different retirement plan. Number two, we'll consult with agency folk. So that's more of a one-off, like a one-time consultation on whatever specific topic it might be. It might be help me think through a succession. It might be help me think through, is what I'm doing what I need to be doing for where I want to go. Sure. And then number three, the way we probably enjoy working with people the most is in a ongoing planning relationship where we're hitting every financial domain. We're diving deep over a period of time. So, there's constant variables and constant input into our financial life. And we kind of walk alongside you almost like a personal CFO, like a household CFO.
But even better, you get Eric.
You get me. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my gosh.
Perfect. What more did you want? Yeah. Love it. So Agent Endgame,
Agentendgame.com.
Agentendgame.com. Check it out. I mean, I think anything that you guys have on Plan Wisely can be beneficial to anybody, from just budgeting to learning more information. You got people that just want to reach out and chat. I mean, is there a specific way
that
people
can... Yeah, go to my website, plan-wisely.com.
Plan-wisely.com.
Yeah, look, if you're an agent, just go to agentendgame.com. There's a link to my calendar right there.
Agentendgame.com. You can book a call with Mr. Eric Garcia.
There's a lot of roads you can take that lead to me. If you go to my website, plan-wisely.com, there's a link there to book me. You can email me, Eric, E-R-I-K, at plan-wisely.com. You can call Mitchell. Mitchell put you in touch with me.
We can make that happen. Don't forget also, we'll make sure that when this is live and when his website's up and going for the Budgeting Made Easy course, make sure that you look in the description here and we'll put it out a couple times for that discount code. And I can tell you it's going to be a little bit of a nice little discount for you, especially if you're just not getting started and you're a young punk agent. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity for you there. Eric, done talking about finances for a second.
Yeah.
Going into my favorite segment of the show.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Five rapid fire questions.
Oh, Lord.
Which may go to six or seven. It just depends. Sometimes Sometimes the answers are good. And I like to ask another one that might have a one-off with that.
Let's go.
Eric Garcia is Wisely. Eric Garcia, Plan Wisely. Five rapid fire questions. Here we go. First one. What is your favorite color?
Oh, blue.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Cookies and cream. Go ahead. Pistachio.
Okay. Pistachio. Easy for me to say.
Pistachio.
Cookies and cream secondary. Yeah. Next question. If you could spend 24 hours with anyone dead or alive, who would you want to spend that 24 hours with? It'd be fun. It could be educational. It could be learning, whatever it is. Who would that be?
My thought always goes to like educational, probably Jesus.
There's no better answer than that.
I know, like it really, like, there's silence. Like, oh, that's such a good answer.
It is.
I got so many questions, man.
I do too. I've got plenty of questions, probably way too many questions and thoughts that go throughout my head throughout the day. But with that being said, leads to my next question. If you could, mm-hmm. if you could go vacation or travel anywhere that you haven't been before, where would you go travel in this world?
Anywhere. Oh man. Probably some like secluded island in, I don't know, the Pacific.
Love it. It's easy enough. Easy enough.
Just, yeah.
I'm going to keep going. I got a couple more here.
Come on. Yeah. Let's go.
Next one. What is your favorite quote or favorite saying that you have lived by or that you've liked to, I guess, result to? Maybe it's something you say all the time to your kids. I don't know.
No.
It's better than them saying no back.
I got a teenager, so no. Oh, man, my favorite quote. My favorite quote. Oh, gosh. So this is one of my favorite quotes.
Okay.
I'll kind of stick in the money space. It's a proverb. Money made hastily dwindles, but he who gathers little by little keeps it. So money made hastily. So quick money dwindles.
Love that.
But he Love who it. Gathers little by little keeps it.
Kind of just sounds like something you just kind of said the last 45 minutes of the show. But anyway, next question. We all like music. Music motivates me. Music is my passion. When I finish up and retire, hopefully down the road, sometime before I'm 60 years old, which I've got a plan to do so. I want to start my own record label. So that entices me to know what type of music people listen to. What type of music? What is your favorite type of music? Who's your favorite musician or favorite type of genre of music?
This is hard because I truly, very difficult question. I truly, depending on my mood and the context, when I'm working at the office, I have a Pandora station, it's a passenger Pandora station. So okay. It's like stuff in the genre of passenger. When I'm driving in New Orleans, when it's a beautiful day, I'll roll my windows down and I'll listen to some brass band. Right now I'm kind of hooked on the Stooges brass band. They're actually going to be playing at Brainshare this year.
Ooh. So when is Brainshare I've kind of been for everybody?
March 29th, 30th, and 31st.
And you heard it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You got a brass band coming from? You got a bass band coming?
What? Maybe. What? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What if it's a crappy day and rainy outside? What's Eric listening to in New Orleans?
I'm probably not listening to music. Maybe some it's something instrumental.
I know what he's listening to. He's listening to the MVP podcast, baby. Let's go.
All day long, man. I got Mitch on repeat.
That's awesome. Eric, that wraps up the five plus two, seven rapid fire questions. Floor is yours. Key to the streets. You've got them for a second. Anything that you think anyone needs to know, anything that's going to inspire somebody. I always like that my guest finishes up with one piece of advice. So if you've got one piece of advice for people, we'll close the show. If not, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Let me just say this. Money touches about everything that we do, right? It obviously we're business owners and we need money to operate our business, but money impacts our relationships as well. And when we have our money right, it's a lot easier to have our relationships right as well, whether it's a parent relationship, a marriage relationship, our relationship to the community. So money is a tool. Money is a resource. It is either good nor bad, but money can afford us to do some really cool things if we make good decisions with it. So don't ignore or neglect your finances, whether personal or business finances. If it's something that you don't like, hire someone to help you, to walk alongside of you to do it.
Love that. Hey, sometimes delegation is the best type of preparation.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me that before. Who told you
that? Prepare it all. Don't worry about it. No, I've heard it through.
Is that a Mitch quote?
No, I had heard that from a YouTube video of something.
My friend Mitch Gibson says.
I did not say that. I'm going to look it up after listening to the show. If so, I'm going to put my name, a little dash underneath it, like it came from me. Because I've heard it somewhere. That just doesn't come out of my that didn't come out of my brain like that. Mm-hmm. So, but Eric, dude, I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you greatly. I can't wait to see you soon. I know I'll see you in Brainshare, which is coming up here in March. Agency Intelligence Brainshare. If you haven't heard about it, go look it up and check into that. Some really good conferences going around this year. But dude, I think it's the year of investing in your tech. If you're not investing in technology and adjusting with the industry and the space of what your competitors are doing, you're just going to get your apps rattling around you. So I know, like for myself, I just we just finally pulled the trigger on agency Zoom. And my Lord, am I happy? Like, if nothing else happens in 2023, good. I'm happy that I have agency Zoom because I can now actually function and do the things that everybody else out in the world are doing. And now I can kind of make my leeway back to where everybody else is at in the industry. And that's important. So make sure you're paying attention to what's going on, because there's sometimes, especially as things evolve and how quickly tech is coming around, people are going to start running laps around you. Right. Eric, appreciate you, man. If you need anything else, or if you have anything, it's all, always a pleasure having you on. You're more than welcome to have a seat in the show any day. So for Mitch Gibson, Eric Garcia, go check out Plan Wisely, Budgeting Made Easy, coming to you soon. Always remember that you can make a difference. We'll catch you next time on the MVP podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Mitch Gibson here with the MVP podcast. Got a question for you. This is a sincere question. Are dropped calls and poor voice quality slowing down your business communication? Think about that for a second. Gotcha, this is an ad. It's time to switch to a solution that keeps your team connected seamlessly. Introducing Lightspeed Voice, your gateway to a revolutionary voice over IP system designed to elevate your business communication and take it to the next level. With Lightspeed Voice, you get more than just a reliable connection. You get a feature-rich system that adapts to your business needs. Whether it's video conferencing, virtual voicemail, or call forwarding, Lightspeed Voice has you covered. Worried about the transition? Don't be. Lightspeed Voice offers seamless integration, making the switch to their voice over IP system a breeze. Their expert support team is here to guide you through every step of that way, ensuring that you have a smooth and efficient transition to your business. But that's not all. Lightspeed Voice is not just a communication tool. It's a strategic investment into your business success. Save on your monthly communication costs while enjoying top-notch service. You know what I call that? That's a win-win. Don't let outdated communication systems hold your business back from doing more. Upgrade to Lightspeed Voice today and experience the difference. I've experienced it, I promise. It is a big difference. You can visit their website or call them now for a demo and see it firsthand how Lightspeed Voice can transform your business communication. Lightspeed Voice, where every word matters and your business is always in sync.